Hello all, welcome to Up the podcast made by the fans, for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Up the Poshcast. After all the positivity in recent weeks, we have crashed down to earth with a bang today. We're recording after Posh's 4-0 defeat at home to Northampton Town in the derby that's not such a derby. Tonight, we've got Charlie, we've got Lods, we've got Dale, we've got Max, and we've got myself, John. I'm going to throw it straight to Charlie. Talk us through the game, mate. How did you see it?
I mean, I think I saw it the same way every Posh fan saw it, which was, it was absolutely terrible. There's no way of dressing it up. But a terrible, terrible performance. I mean, we weren't at it from the first minute, let's be honest here. They were the better side for literally every single minute of the game. They dominated, they pressed us, we couldn't deal with it. They just seemed to want it more, in the words of Fergie in his post-match with BBC Radio Cambridgeshire. It was, yeah, infuriating to watch. It was not the kind of performance you'd expect in a derby. It was slightly uncharacteristic, actually, of the team at the moment, because I feel like one of the things since Lincoln that we've not been able to criticise was sort of the application of the players. And even when they've made mistakes, they sort of ran themselves into the ground. It didn't feel like that today, whether it's sort of the Wembley arch hanging over them. I'm not sure, but yeah, it was a terrible performance. And it was summed up by an absolutely terrible moment from Teo Adun, who swung a punch at a cobbler's player. They absolutely rattled him, got completely in his head. He completely ruined any chance we had in the game. You know, it was 1-0. We were 1-0 down. We weren't playing well, but we had 11 players, and he just completely removed any chance Fergie had of changing that game, of making subs, of having a successful half-time, of letting us come back. What an absolute joke. Teo Adun, he will probably be banned for 4 games now, which will mean that he'll come back with 2 games left of the season. I mean, you'd hope that they'd be meaningless games because we'll be safe by then. I don't want to see him play for the club again. I think today was disgusting. I've been clowned for using that word on Twitter by my friend Dave, so I thought I'd throw it in there. It was a disgusting moment from Teo Adun. He's been sent off twice now in 4 games. And to be honest, in the other 2 games, he's been lucky not to be sent off because he's definitely had very solid cases for second yellow cards in both games. He's a hothead. And you can understand why he's got a good footballing ability, but with moments like today, which seem to be happening a lot, you can understand why he's been offered a 6-month contract at a side at the bottom of League One and isn't playing at, you know, a higher level or in the Championship. Because yeah, I mean, I think that's waving goodbye to any contract I'd give him in the summer. What just an awful moment. What was he thinking?
Okay. The game was fucking awful from start to finish. We was poor from minute one. You know, even up until the sending off, they was all over us. There was no way we was winning that game. You could just tell, you just had that vibe. And then obviously the red card happened from Steer. What the fuck was we doing with that pass out? I have no idea. He threw it out of fucking Eden, rushing it again, like we said the other week. He just needs to like look at what he's doing. And then, yeah, give away a free kick, rightly so. And then, obviously, the reaction. Do you know what? To be fair to Eden, lucky he didn't fucking write up fucking Steer for putting him in such a shit position. But no, you shouldn't really be striking out. But, you know, he was the only fucking player that actually showed a fight in the game, in a derby game, rightly or wrongly. It's wrong. Obviously, you shouldn't be doing that, but... Oh, I was fucking joking there. It's just so fucking frustrating, you know. And you can't even when we went down to 10 men, quite often, we've seen it before so many times, when you're down to 10 players, you actually up your game and you make it hard to play against. Fuck, we just crumbled. We couldn't even pass together. We couldn't even fucking throw the ball out to the right player. We couldn't even fucking, I don't know, we just could not do nothing right. And it was embarrassing. it was embarrassing all over. Not a good point. And as Fergie said, to only take three players off at half-time, fucking hell, we could have swapped the whole lot. And even the subs, when they come on, yeah, that was slightly better, but did they change any game? But I don't know. We've got Birmingham coming up. We'll talk about it in a bit. But fucking hell, today's performance was... I don't know. I don't even know how to put into words how bad it was. I think it was... Was it Lincoln when we got battered the other week or other month? That was one of the worst performances I've seen. And I think today topped that, if I'm honest. I can't think of another one. But just going back to Eden, what you're saying, Charlie, don't see him play, put a shirt on again. I get that from a lot of people, and I understand. And I was choking about his fucking showing some fight. But I don't know. He's one of these that... Could we knock that out of him? Pardon the fucking pun. But, you know, could we? Because if we could, he's a decent... I think it's a fucking great play. Yeah, we need a bit of players with aggression. It's a bit like Brad, you know, going off on a tangent here again. Brad has got a bit of fucking something about him. And that's what you need in a game. I would keep him if I could for next season. But we need to knock that fucking red card out of him. I think I had a quick look. I think it's probably about his fourth or fifth red card that he's had in his career. So, and he hadn't played that many games. So, yeah, he just needs to whatever. But the rest of the fucking team today, it was awful. It really was. So, yeah, we've got to pick ourselves up for Tuesday night, I suppose, when we're playing that little shitter called Birmingham, who potentially could actually, I believe, win promotion at our place on Tuesday if they beat us. Is that right? Yeah, so, you know what? Fuck them. Let them have it. Let them have the win. Right, let them have their celebration. We'll come back to Birmingham in a bit. But anyway, fucking hell, really disappointed with the day. It was bullshit.
I think the general consensus of what I've sort of picked up being in the stand and sort of soaking in that atmosphere is the only people in the whole ground that felt up for that game was the Cobblers players and the Cobblers fans and their management. And that was it. I've never seen the ground be that empty at the final whistle. Loads of people spilled out at half time. Before the game, I've seen a wave of people on Twitter say it just felt like any other game. I think the timing of this game as well is so poor, considering obviously we've got no control over the calendar, but with Wembley next week, it's so difficult for, I understand that people don't want to buy tickets and our season, look, if we were to go down, then I wouldn't be able to believe it with the points tally that we've, you know, 48 points, probably got some more in the bank on the way. People just think the season's over. Everything felt so flat. And after such a run of positivity, as John mentioned at the start, after such an amazing run of positivity, I think this game is sort of a humbling, but also a reminder that we aren't a very good sort of football team at the moment. This season, it's a massive summary of that. We have struggled from start to finish. And although we've had an excellent run, the underlying problems are still there. We missed Sam Hughes massively today. And I think everybody knew that we were going to miss him, but not by that margin. I thought Katongo filling in for that was relatively poor. His passing was dire, especially in that first half. And actually, we forced to play out the back. And if our centre-backs aren't on it and our full-backs aren't on it, then playing out the back becomes impossible. And actually, I think the first two goals, we completely gifted them. I don't think they had, especially for the first goal, there wasn't a passage of play. Up to that point, it was a mistake and they capitalised of it. The penalty was a mistake from Wallin and they capitalised from it. It was like we just weren't at the races and they were. And 100%, of course they will be. It's probably, with what they've got to play for, it's a massive 3 points towards safety. And it is their biggest game of the season, I presume. And I think a lot of their fans would say that, with it being, you know, the derby. And they've come out and they've capitalised on it. And fair play to them, because from start to finish, as Dell said, they were, you know, the better team, 100%. I just can't understand why we came out and played like that. And I think it was because everything today was flat. The fans included, it was flat, everything. The atmosphere was really poor. All you could hear with the Cobblers fans, who I don't think were actually overly phenomenal until they scored their first, and pre-match they were loud, but they always are. So it just felt flat. And then obviously to get decimated as we did was not fun. It's never fun to watch that from any point of view. But I just can't believe that we put in a performance like that, and players up and down the pitch for us were absolutely piss poor. I mean, that I can't, like, Eden was stupid. You cannot punch people in the face. I mean, in any respect of the word, you can't hit people. And at the end of the day, you're going to get sent off for whacking someone in the face. Like, he proper wigged him. Like, I've sat there and watched him just smack him. You can't do that in any respect of the word. And ultimately, our substitutes, and, you know, Katongo went down with an injury before they scored their fourth, and genuinely couldn't run. And we would have been able to put Manny Fernandez on or someone like that if Eden hadn't been taken off. And that ultimately began the downfall. But I don't solely blame this loss on Eden. I think that would be harsh. I think down to 10, you've got to show some fight. And I really don't think a single player on the pitch really did. And that's ultimately why we've come away with a battering this afternoon.
I'm actually struggling a little bit to be that angry. I know that sounds that weird, but you've seen me on here rant quite a few times this season, and this season has been miserable, and it has been miserable throughout. But what I would say is I think the players have done their job. I know that sounds crazy, but the last 10 games, they've lost one. Yesterday was a shit show. Yesterday was probably the worst performance of the season. But we came up against a side, like Max said, it was their biggest game of the season. It wasn't ours. I know there's sort of like a bit of derby feeling to it, certainly towards the older generation, but the atmosphere in the ground didn't show that. The ticket sales didn't show that. And the league position doesn't show that. We're safe. We've achieved our objective. And I'm nowhere near as angry today as I was after Bristol Rovers, after Charlton, where I was fuming. And I was just so, so cross with the team. So I'm not going to go in on them too hard. I think what today probably exposed, and it might not be a bad thing, is there are players at this team that are not good enough to play for us next season. And I've been saying it all season. I don't think Oscar Vallon is. I don't think Abraham Oddo is. And I'm not picking on those two today. That's certainly not my thing here. That nobody played well today. Dornelli was awful. Jed Steer was awful. Another one I think you could put in the category of not good enough to be here next season if you want a promotion push. Jadel Katongo is a shadow of his former self. No idea what has happened to him. He is abysmal, absolutely abysmal. And we're talking to players that I don't really want to see play again. I would certainly put Jadel Katongo in that category. The problem is, who the fuck do we play centre-back? Because I think what today showed is, thank goodness we signed Sam Hughes in January, because if we did not get him, we would be in severe, severe trouble. I think today really exposed the flaws in all our centre-halves, to be honest, because you can't bring Manny in either and have any confidence in him. So I don't know where we go at Wembley, which I'm sure we'll discuss later. But I did just want to pull up a point about Eden. Charlie was pretty strong on him at the start. And I get where you come from. I'm not going to defend his actions today. I'm not going to defend his actions against Crawley, to be honest. I mean, Cambridge was quite funny because he flattened Liam Bennett. But if you look at it with your head on your shoulders now, it was a needless red card, really, wasn't it? He didn't need to make that tackle. He got himself suspended. And it was a bit silly given the state of the game. And then I look at Posh's red card stats, and we have the most red cards in the entirety of League One this season. We have committed the fewest fouls. So there is a problem with indiscipline in this squad, because I wouldn't say we're an aggressive team, but we are giving away way too many silly reds. And that's what you can put today down to, is stupidity. Now, I'm not sure that means that I don't want Eden signed, because I think this squad at times has lacked aggression. And we've all praised Eden for his aggressive streak, his battling qualities. And yes, he needs to harness them better. Yes, you can't excuse what he did today. But this is the flip side to having that aggressive, nasty players. You know, Sergio Ramos famously gets sent off about three times a season. And I'm not certainly not comparing Eden to Ramos before anyone says that, but he has that streak in him of being that nasty, aggressive player. And it's something we've lacked. And I think it actually helped us out having that get up and go and battle. And I think it's improved the likes of James Dornelli's defending. When you watch him defend, he gets out to his fullback a lot quicker than he was in the start of the season. Not that today was a good game for Dornelli. But I think to say I don't want him signed off the back of one error, and yes, I do take the point that his discipline is not great, but I don't think we can praise his aggression and how much his the fight added to the team, etc., etc. I think Ash, for instance, was saying how much he loved Eden's, you know, ability to grapple and shithousery and all this the other day, and then say, oh no, don't sign him the instant that he makes an error. Because this is the flip side that comes with players like that. And I agree he's got to harness it. He let his team down today. I'm sure he feels awful. I still think, given what he's done, that he probably shouldn't be written off as a signing and never play for Peterborough again. I think he probably deserves a send-off because he's arguably been one of our better players this season.
I think my issue, John, is that, well, first of all, we are stacked in the left-back area. And we've got, you know, Mills, Adebisi, Sparks and Eden in the summer. That's what the four will look like. And we're going to ship Sparks off, but we're going to have to pick one. Basically, we're going to have to pick one of the three of Mills, Adebisi and Eden to get rid of. Teo Eden is 27 next month. He is a 27-year-old man. We're not talking about a 21-year-old here who, you know, sometimes loses his head and but hasn't got a lot of experience in the game. And this is a fully grown, this is a man in the prime of his career. And he just loses his rag. I mean, Crawley on Tuesday night, how he didn't get sent off, I'll never know. He was proper wound up. He was fighting on the edge of the box when the penalty was being taken. I wasn't on the episode, but it's something I would have picked up on. He was fighting on the edge of the box when the penalty was being taken, delaying the penalty being taken, by the way, which is when it was our penalty, was a weird thing to do in the first place. He wouldn't let it go. He had to be physically dragged away by our players as he was trying to get at the Crawley players. Then at full time, he went again. He had to be dragged away by, and then Ricky Joe Jones had to plead with the referee not to send him off. And then Darren Ferguson literally had to bear hug him from behind and rip him away from the situation and bring him towards the fans. He was sent off at Cambridge for a very, very needless foul. It was needless, and I know we praised him for it afterwards because I think that was mainly just the dopamine of the game and sort of the feel-good factor of, you know, getting a goal and a red card and being a bit of a shithouse in a derby. But today was just complete ill-discipline. He stripped us of any chance of winning the game. And when you're looking at, you've got Mills, you've got Adebisi, and you've got Eden. Adebisi, we're not going to sell because we spent a lot of money on him. He's a, we as a club, obviously believe that he's going to be a very good attacking fullback. And Mills, he has shown that actually, technically, he's almost as good as Eden. In the games that he's played recently, you know, he's got a great cross, he's been solid, he's been picking out passing, but he's also shown that he can actually keep his head. And considering he is probably got, what, he's 5 or 6 years younger than Teo Eden, that's a pretty impressive attribute to have. I'm not having this whole Eden, you know, he's a shithouse. There's a difference between being a shithouse and being an aggressive player on the pitch and being an aggressive man off the pitch. And Teo Eden is becoming an aggressive man because he's unable to control his behaviour when dealing with opposition players, and he's getting riled and he's rising to it. So I don't think that's the kind of player we can have in our squad. I don't think that isn't the modern footballer, unfortunately. That breed has died out in the last generation. We don't need that in our team. We didn't have any of that last season and we were absolutely fine. I don't want Teo Eden anywhere near next season's team. I just don't want to see it. I think we're better off without him.
Yeah, I kind of want to move on from talking about Teo Eden. I agree with what you've all said regarding his disciplinary. He obviously shouldn't be punching anyone. And it's a shame that he's done it so early on in the game and left us in the lurch. But I don't think that's the reason why we lost the game. I think our lack of experience on the pitch is probably what's lost us the game. And it was a real tell. I know you mentioned it, Max, but the fact that Sam Hughes wasn't playing, it was so obvious on the pitch. I actually said in the warm-up, I've got a feeling we're going to concede three today, and obviously we ended up conceding four. But it wasn't that. It was, I mean, Eden was our oldest player, outfield player on the pitch, and he's doing that. It just shows, doesn't it, what inexperience this squad has. And Fergie mentioned it in the interview how even at 2-0, he wasn't overly worried because he knew he could deliver the tactical information needed of how they can play against 10 men. And I just listened to that and I felt really embarrassed because I just think if you're a footballer, how do you not know? Like, how are they not working on this? Are they not working on what they need to do in situations when players get sent off? Because he was saying about our players traveling in twos, chasing the ball and leaving big gaps everywhere. And then he subbed both the midfielders off at half time. And we sort of said during the game, I'll be resting them. We've got some big games coming up. We know the game's done at 3-0. But he said in the interview, it was purely performance. So he's obviously digging out Collins and Kipriani there. And out of all the players on the pitch, you'd expect to know how to play against 10 men. You'd put your money on those two. They're probably the most experienced or the most level-headed. Or you'd like to think so, with Kipriani being captain at least. And just on captains as well. I mean, if you look back at all the successful squads we've had in the McAntony era, 2008 when we got promoted, we had Micah Hyde. 2009, we had Dean Keats. 2011, we had Grant McCann. 2021, we had Mark Beavers. And I know last year, we didn't really have an older leader as such. I know JCH was still kicking about. But I just think last year was just so lucky that we had such great players in Edwards and Mason Clark and Burrows. I don't think we're going to do that again, especially with the finances the way they are. And we really, really need to be looking at getting some experience in this squad next season, even if it's just one or two players that are 30, been playing in the EFL 10 years, get them in on a free, pay the wages that they need to be paid, because I think the value that they add is just something that you can't get from these youngsters. And I know they don't have a sell-on value, but I promise you that if we get promoted to the Championship, the sell-on value of everyone else will improve so much. Because if you look at the valuation of our squad, and Darius said that it's 30 million at the moment, I can't see us getting 30 million for this squad. But if we were chasing promotion right now, obviously it would be a different story. And had Hughes played every single game this season, I think we probably could have been chasing promotion. And that's just one player that's not even an experienced player in terms of like some of the players I've just mentioned. He's like 27, been playing for Burton. If that's all it takes to get us up there, then let's get someone signed to make that impact for next season.
I think the crazy thing about the Hughes thing is, I think we'd all agree here, he isn't like an outstanding League One centre-back. He is a bog-standard, decent League One centre-back that heads it and kicks it well and has a bit of leadership. It's not like we're asking for a world beater. We're genuinely not asking for another Ronnie Edwards to come into our defence here. We're asking for a competent League One centre-back. And today was really concerning. I touched on the two centre-backs earlier, but we'll go into them a little bit more in depth now. Oscar Vallin will start with. I get there's been some claims that he's improved recently, and he has alongside Hughes. Certainly that we've kept more clean sheets with those two at the back. I don't think we can afford to have a centre-back that needs his hand held every game, and when he's not next to Hughes, he looks abysmal again. And I think we're also at a point where he's had long enough in England now that the excuse is that, I mean, he's had every excuse under the book, hasn't he, that he's tired because he's played fewer games than Harrison Burrows last season, but he has had a long season. He's homesick, but he's been here for what? Nearly a year now, almost a year. He should be learning the English game, and I'm just not seeing enough of it. There's still too many errors to his game, and even the third goal, which is largely on Dornelli. Dornelli fails to clear a basic cross. It's poor defending. But if Vallin switches on, gets goal side of his marker, the goal doesn't happen. But instead, he's just sauntering about like he usually does. No urgency, no sense of danger, no aggression. Doesn't get in front of his man and gives them a tap in. And I've seen it all too many times where Vallin has lost his man in the centre of the box, doesn't sense danger, and teams score off it. And to be honest, I just don't think he's ever going to make it. He's just, in my opinion, he's just not. Now, Jadel Katongo is probably an even bigger concern. I think we're at a point now where Katongo has been so bad this season. He's not going to be here next year. I know Manny Fernandez has not been good. He was awful at Reading, but at least he's our player. If we're going to have a look at them, I actually think we should be at a point now where we say to Fernandes and Valin, you've got however many games left this season. I'm keeping one of you to be our fourth choice centre-back next season. Prove to me you're going to be the one. I'm not happy with either of them starting next season. I'm not happy with either of them even being third choice next season. But I think we have to play our own players at this point because, frankly, we're building towards next season now because we're not going anywhere in the league. What's the point in playing Aloni and developing Katongo, who just hasn't done it this year? It's just been a signing which has been a complete disaster, really, from start to finish, which is a shame because we all saw that he is a good player. He is better than this. I don't know what's up with him. Today, he couldn't even pass. Like, that's your one attribute, Dedele, when you play centre-half. And you couldn't even do that. So bizarre what's gone wrong with him. And the other one I want to talk about is Jed Steer. Again, another one who in that patch of games was really commanding, did well, did his job, came in for a bit of cap pitch. But we've reverted to the norm, really, with Steer, haven't we? Where the first goal today, his positioning's wrong, maybe should save it. The second goal today, his distribution's poor. That's your experienced head giving the ball out and giving the ball away. Did it multiple times at Crawley. I think, again, if you look at what the blip and what the form is, the blip is the good form. His standard performance is close to what it is today. Not good enough, just not a good enough goalie for a team. If we have ambitions of getting up the table and not being 16th next season, Jed Steer cannot be our goalkeeper. He's not good enough. And I think today has just exposed a load of players, but I'm not sure we really needed to see it, but it will act as a reality check. And that is the only good and positive that I can take out of this, that we cannot go into the summer and be really lackadaisical with our recruitment or think that we're a good enough squad that we could have made the playoffs. I've heard that as a line. We could have made the playoffs if we had signed Hughes and Eden earlier. We couldn't. There's too many flaws in this squad and they need to be addressed in the summer. And those three for me that I've just mentioned were really, really bad today and it didn't reflect well on them.
I agree, John, in the terms of sort of playing our own players. However, as optimistic as I always am, there is a very small part of me that doesn't quite feel safe yet. I know we're on 48 points. I know it's very, very unlikely. But if you look at this season, and I don't think any of our fan base would predict where we are, I just think anything can happen. And until I hit that 50 point mark, I don't think I'll overly feel happy, despite where the teams below us are, just because of this, like just because how bad this season's been. I wouldn't put whatever God we've upset past us to sort of just make this season a misery and relegate us on 48 points. So for the time being, I'd leave it as I'm happy to experiment with one or the other. But I just until we hit that 50 point mark, I'd be a little bit unwilling to drop Sam Hughes. On Katongo, I do feel bad for the lad. Because I do agree it's been a disaster of a signing, but I don't think it's been a disaster of a signing because he's been a terrible player. I think he's a player that's completely shot for confidence. And I feel like he's a player that has been riddled with injury. So for me, it's very difficult for me to say, he just does look like a shadow of himself. And I do agree with that. But I think the bloke's been riddled with injury. Speaking of a player who is a shadow of his former self and has been ruled by a horrible injury, and that's Kwame Poku. And today, he looked awful from minute one. He kept falling over. He kept passing it out of play. He kept passing it to the Cobblers players. He had a few moments of the Kwame Poku that we know, but it didn't get us anywhere. He sort of just sent two players shopping and then lost the ball. It's a difficult one because he was so, so good, but he just does look a shadow of himself. And he's picking up assists, you know, don't get me wrong. And he picked up a goal at Reading, I believe. But he needs to, there's something missing from him. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say that he's a bad player because he isn't. Everybody knows that. And today the loss was not on him, but To be axed at half time in the form that you're in prior to your hamstring injury, and it was a nasty injury. There was no way that I'd ever expect him to come back and be exactly how he was instantly. But hopefully he can get back to his game. And the final player I want to touch on was Kean Hayes. And for me, that was probably one of the worst performances I've seen from Kean Hayes. I do feel bad for him because you're thrown into the fire a little bit at half time coming on. And you're expected to do something when you're brought on. You're expected to go out and perform and make something happen. And he couldn't today. But what I will say about him is he does like to hog the ball. And I have been realising this recently. Gustav was in at least twice, to my memory. And instead of playing him through, a simple pass through as well that would split the cobbler's back line, instead, he tried to take three of them on. And ended up flat on his ass. I just don't like it. I like Ephraim Mason Clark was greedy towards the end. But in that first sort of stint before he went out on loan, I thought, he was relatively selfless. Same with Kwame Poku. Even same with Malik Mothersill. This season, I feel like the selflessness and the team play has gone to pot because I feel like everybody wants to be the man. We're not going to get anywhere like that. And next season, there's got to be a better cohesion sort of managed into this group. Because, look, on a different day, Kean Hayes plays those two balls. Gustav puts them away. The deficit's 3-2. You never know what can happen. I mean, they were two very clear-cut chances that Gustav could have scored. Instead, he's taken his man on. And it's just unfortunate to see. So, look. All the performances today were abysmal, and I'm picking players that sort of just spring to mind. But there has to be a better sense of attacking cohesion, and that's been a problem all season. But there has to be next season a better attacking cohesion, because if we've got players that just want to take three people on, we're never going to get anywhere.
It's absolutely spot on, and I think you've covered that really well with Kieran Hayes. I actually thought that he. He was probably one of the only ones that was trying to create something, you know, but every time he had that one touch too many when he could have put it in, or he could have put it across or whatever. And, you know, but on the flip side of that, if he had put it across the way everybody else was playing, would they have fucked it up? Probably. But we just never know. But yeah, you know, but if it had come off, it would have been fantastic. Let's be honest, it would have come off. And yeah, whilst it wasn't his best day, he was still trying to put the effort in. You know, another day we would have been waxing lyrical about how many players he's dribbled past because he had done that final pass and it would have been better. But just everything today was shit, wasn't it? It really was. But there we go.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that, Del. I mean, I don't think Kean Hayes actually had a good game at all. I gave him a very low rating. I think it's difficult when you go on as a winger and you're playing with 10 men and you sort of, what you want to do is get the ball and get your team up the pitch. But also, you know, we were 3-0 down and then 4-0 down. We needed to score goals, and it felt like Kean Hayes wasn't massively interested in scoring today. It felt like he just wanted to hold the ball for as long as possible. I'm not sure on Kean Hayes today. I think players like Ricky J. Jones, for example, at least were constantly trying to be direct and constantly trying to actually advance on goal. It didn't feel like Kean Hayes had that same attacking impetus. I think, listen, I honestly do think the subs were thrown on by Fergie not to try and change the game, but just to try and shore things up and to make it so that we didn't end up losing, you know, 6 or 7-0 and keep it down to sort of 3 or 4. I don't think the subs were ever made with the aim of mounting a comeback, because I don't think that was realistic at all. And I think Fergie knew that. But the attacking players, it's frustrating. Frustrating for all the attackers today, really. They were a bit sold short. Malik Mothersill had to come off, which was frustrating for him. Kean Hayes obviously didn't have a lot of service. Poku was poor. Poku was really poor. And I think we are definitely seeing a little bit of the impact of his injury. He just doesn't quite have that extra edge that he used to have to beat a player and snap it away from people at the last moment. And he's maybe a bit devoid of confidence as well. And maybe he was wearing the wrong boots today, honestly, because he kept slipping over. It was a bit of a weird one, especially on our own half where it was really wet, like down in that corner. The sprinklers had been absolutely drenching that area of the pitch and he was slipping over. But yeah, it was a very frustrating day for the attack. Yeah, we saw Ado in the sponsors lounge after the game and Dell was joking with him, trying to get him to crack a smile, and he just looked gutted. And it must have been a very demoralising day for the forwards, because, yeah, you can't really do a lot when your defenders and one of your teammates sort of sells you down the river like that.
As you know, I like to be positive, and as per usual, I actually have found a positive to talk about from this game. And for me, that positive was Mahamadou Sissoko today. I thought, and I might be the only person that thought this, but I actually thought he came on and was very good. And he got my highest rating this afternoon. I think for me, when you look at the performance as a whole, when he came on, it was more short. I mean, it goes to show that until the end of the game, we hadn't conceded. And yes, there is an argument that he was at fault for the fourth. At that point, the game was already gone. And the back line, they had, again, you know, it isn't just one player's fault. He did lose his man, sure, but I'm pretty sure it was Eves that scored, and he's an absolute man mountain. I don't think Sousa had much of a chance of even if he put some pressure on him, sort of a chance of stopping that. But when he picks the ball up, I feel far more assured, and I have done throughout the season, than when, say, Kitriano or even Collins, to some degree, have picked it up. Because a lot of the time, we have seen, especially in this sort of run of games, that there is a mistake out of that midfield pairing. And Sousa doesn't necessarily... I didn't really see that he had a mistake in terms of passing today. I thought he was like a bit of a metronome and just kept everything ticking over. And we actually had some of our best passages of play with him as sort of a conductor in midfield that I really enjoyed. And look, I just want to also mention, I'm absolutely gutted for Malik today, because I really was excited to watch him play against this Cobblers side that had struggled to sort of contain explosive players. And when Malik's on it, he's on it. And I was really, really upset that Fergie chose him to take off. If it was my decision, it would have been Poku. But look, I was really, really gutted that Fergie told him, chose him to come off, because I thought that he was sort of our key to scoring a lot of goals today. But it wasn't to be. But I was delighted with Suso's performance, apart from his sort of mistake for the fourth goal. Don't get me wrong, like, you can't make those sorts of mistakes. But in terms of all the players on the pitch today, I thought personally he was probably the brightest.
So, do you know what? All we've done for the last 35, 40 minutes is be negative about the team. So let's move it round into a bit of a positive. The other week, we give away four tickets to the GH stand against today, and it weren't great for them, it's fair to say, you know. But, you know, we give some freebies. So moving on, I have four free tickets. Not just tickets. These are tickets into the box, complimentary of Next Level Barbell Club, who is a new powerlifting and weightlifting club that's opening Yaxley down Enterprise Way. So to be in for a chance to win these tickets, what you need to do is go onto YouTube and just type a comment up the podcast so we know that you've seen it. On Twitter, just tag three mates that you'll be taking with us, okay, and follow the Barbell Club, which is at NLF077. These four tickets are against Stockport County, which is on Good Friday, April the 18th. Okay, Stockport County. So let's do it. All right, got freebies. We try and do our bit. You know, this all costs us money and everything, and we're trying to end on a bit of a positive after that last half hour of drizzle and shit and, you know, a fucking absolute bullshit game of football. Hopefully you can, you know, in the sunshine with the patio doors open, having your little nibbles and whatnot, watching a great game of football. So you know what to do. We'll get it out on the on the Twitter in the next few days. And, you know, enter and let's see what happens.
Thanks for that positivity, Dale. I feel like we might be coming crashing back down to earth because we're about to discuss our game on Tuesday night. Now, I should say we've got another episode after this because I know we've got a doubleheader against the champions elect in Birmingham. We've got another game after this where we're going to preview Wembley. So please do tune into that episode if you tuned in for today. Today's discussion is specifically going to be on the league game against Birmingham City, which is one I think we're probably all treating with a little bit more trepidation after today's showing than we were before it. So I'm going to head over to Lods and I'm going to talk about team changes because I want to know, what are you doing to that lineup on Tuesday night?
Well, I think reading between the lines, we're going to see quite a bit of rotation. There's obviously a few players that can't play at Wembley. Well, Eden's suspended now anyway, so I suppose that doesn't matter. But obviously, Carl Johnston can't, and Sam Hughes can't either. It'd be nice to see Sam Hughes back for this one. He also can't play against Stockport, which is the game after Wembley. So if he doesn't play, it'll be a good few weeks he misses. And to be honest, I said this at the game, I'd take a 50% fit Sam Hughes over any of our centre-backs. I really, really, really want us to play Manny just to try it one more time because I'm not convinced with Katongo at centre-back and I'd like to know who we are playing at Wembley. And if it's going to be Katongo, then fair enough, let's just play him. But I'm not convinced of him and I would much rather play Manny. And he's also a threat at set pieces, which in a game where we're massive underdogs, set pieces could prove to be such an important thing. So obviously this is the league game, so we need to focus on trying to get anything out of the game. But I think we should also have one eye on the final at Wembley, just because we're pretty much safe now. We're not expecting to win either game. I'm sure we'd rather win the game at Wembley than get the 3 points against Birmingham. In terms of the rest of the team, probably leave it as is. I'd start Jones again. I'd start Odo. I'd start Mothersill. Yeah, just the same as today. Just the back line that I'd probably switch up a little bit.
So one of the big reasons I'm concerned, I think one of the, I guess it just sums up how bad this season has been. After today, we have now conceded the most home goals in the entirety of League One. Barnsley are the only team with us. We've conceded more than Crawley. We've conceded more than Shrewsbury. We've conceded more than Burton at home. It's pretty disgraceful when you look at it and then consider we've got Birmingham next. So that record is unlikely to get any better. We're also a team that have been spanked by Northampton. We've been battered by Mansfield. We've been destroyed by Barnsley, Wrexham, Huddersfield, all on our own patch. That should not be happening to Peterborough United in League One. And I struggle to see it not happening again on Tuesday night, which I really would like to see the players try their utmost to stop happening. They should have suffered too many of these kind of defeats at home. But I think, as we've all kind of alluded to, it may not be a question of attitude anymore. I think it may be just a question of ability and where we're at as a football team. So, yeah, without preempting my prediction, I am very, very concerned. Birmingham are obviously playing for promotion. If they turn up with anything like the attitude that they've had today against, let's face it, Cobblers were decent today, but they're not a very good team. We are in serious, serious trouble.
Yeah, no, it's a very tough game. There's no denying. Birmingham have lost once in the league this calendar year, and that was to Bolton away. They have just been a winning machine. The fact they can get promoted in the, you know, the first week of April probably says enough about how good they've been this season. But then again, let's not pretend they've got anything less than a super squad in League One. It's been had so much money spent on it, and they will go up, and it was never really in doubt. Other than Harry, I think everybody thought that Birmingham would get promoted this season, and they've done just that. So what I would say is something that's a bit of a different aspect to the game, which has actually really annoyed me, is we've only given Birmingham 2,600 tickets. They've got the GH, which I think they've sold out, and then Block A and B are currently shut. And I don't get that. They could get promoted. And I feel like there's two reasons I don't get it. The first of all is because I feel like it's just going to end up with a load of Birmingham fans in the home end celebrating promotion. And that's going to, you know, we remember Nottingham Forest in the Championship when there were a load of Forest fans in the posh end, and it really kicked off and it was a really horrible atmosphere. I feel like it's just going to be that, but so much worse. Just give them the 4,000 tickets. And the other thing is, why aren't we giving them the 4,000 tickets? It's not as if it's a massively meaningful game. You know, we probably need 3 points to stay up, I'd say. If we get to 51, I think we'll be fine. And this is not the game that we're targeting to get 3 points in. And we gave Pompey last season in a massive game for automatic promotion, literally huge. We gave them 4,000 tickets, and Fergie blamed that as one of the reasons why we lost that game, because it was just a wall of noise. They sucked the ball into the goal. They made it incredibly difficult to play at our own ground. So we're willing to give like Pompey in a massive game 4,000 tickets, but then we're not willing to give Birmingham that in a relatively insignificant Tuesday night game in which they can get promotion. It makes no sense to me. I don't know why we've done it. I mean, this might be one of those weird things where the club comes out and goes, actually, the police said we couldn't do it, or Birmingham didn't want any more tickets. But I doubt that would be the case. It just feels a bit of a weird thing to do. Hopefully we release the extra tickets to Birmingham fans. I'm sure even if we did it now, or even if we did it the morning of the game, they'd probably sell them out by the evening. I just don't see the point in not giving them the allocation. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it is really odd not giving them the tickets. I mean, Birmingham are really well oiled, and I can't even like think of the amount of times that clubs have come down from the Championship to League One and just got stuck here, and they haven't. And yes, you can talk about the money, and yes, you can talk about the management, but realistically, they are a well drilled, well oiled team, and regardless of who they play, they get results. The one highlighting factor that I thought. Was that Birmingham don't particularly, well, they have done, but in their like recent run, you know, they drew 1-1 to Northampton, they beat Stevenage 2-1, they beat Lincoln 1-0, they lost 3-1 to Bolton, they beat Wickham 1-0. Like, it's like in their recent run, they haven't really like beat anyone by a massive number. And that was my one redeeming factor until today, when they just smashed Barnsley 6-2. And we've lost 4-0. To Cobblers. So any glimpse of optimism I thought that, you know, maybe we wouldn't get pasted has gone. And look, is it bringing back, going back to the ticket sales, you know, A, it's going to be a lot more money because they will sell out, and B, let them have their party. They deserve it. I mean, to get, as Charlie said, to get promoted at this point is plaudits to them, and they deserve it. But also, like it's a lot of money that we're just missing out on. And to me, that seems silly. But look, at the end of the day, if that's what the club wants to do, that's what they'll decide to do. And there's nothing that we can do about it. But I completely agree with you, Charlie. I do think it sounds really silly.
Going back as far as team selections, I haven't got a fucking clue what way to go. You know, on the pod last week, I said, we've got to put our strongest team out. After today, what the fuck is our strongest? Because none of those today showed that they're good enough to be in a starting 11 for a game against Birmingham or at Wembley. But I really don't know. I'm still not sure that Fernandez is the answer. Who knows? He ain't done much to keep me happy the last few months. I really don't even know. I don't even know where to start with what team to select. One thing I would do is I'd find a space for Big Bad Brad. You know, I'd get him in there. Why not? Fuck it. And potentially Con Clark, because they've not been involved for the, you know, the last few weeks. Why not? Why not give them a go? I don't know. I really, you know, I'm glad I ain't Fergie, because I would probably just fucking pick names out of a hat and say, right, you can play at left back today. You can play at right back, because I generally do not have a fucking clue. Anyway, moving on from that, just want to go back with what Charlie was saying about the tickets. So Birmingham on Tuesday potentially could, you know, get promotion from this division, and they're only going to have X amount of fans there. Why the fucking hell have we not just let them have the full amount? What, you know, it's not as if, as Charlie's again said, it's not as if it's one we expect to win. I think we're safe there from going down. Just let them have their fucking moment. Do you know what I mean? And it could be a bit of psychology. Let them have their moment. Give them fucking 4,500 tickets or however many they want. I don't care. You know, extra in revenue for the club, which, let's face it, Darryl keeps saying we do need more money coming in. So I think someone's putting in 30 grand extra potentially we could have just from the cup game. And then let them have it. Let them have their celebrations of getting promoted. Let them all fucking go out, get shit-faced, fucking pissed up the wall, whatever they want to do it. So come Sunday, they're like, they're still celebrating from getting promoted. I wouldn't give a fuck about Wembley, you know? So, and then just move on to Wembley tickets. I read to this week that we're not opening tier 5 for the Peterborough end. Oh, mate, fucking hell. I get that. I think it's been a bit of a fuck up the whole way round from the FA potentially saying we can only open certain blocks. We should have been sectioned a smaller section, not given a whole end. You know, Birmingham have their 50%, 100%, no 50%, 100% they should have, which is fine. But with Peterborough, we should have had a small section, maybe behind the goal or at least to the left, top, middle and bottom. Sounds like fucking strike it lucky. And then as we sell them, then we can open another section, top, middle and bottom to go round. That way, Birmingham could have had a lot more tickets. I wouldn't have an issue with that. And again, I'd rather see a full fucking Wembley than a piss-pot part empty Wembley that is going to be done our end. Let's not beat about the bush. It is going to be. Top tier is going to be empty. Granted, we won't be able to see it from where we are, but I don't fucking get the FA at times. It could have been dealt with a lot better. And there's going to be so many pissed off Birmingham fans. And there's going to be so many Birmingham fans in the home end at Peterborough on Tuesday. And there'll be so many in the home end on Sunday at Wembley, which both of them could have been avoided to a majority. You're still going to get the odd one here and there. But we could have prevented that by, you know, being a little bit sharper, in my opinion. But now, you know what? Still don't know what the fucking team's going to be Tuesday. Let's go out and see what happens.
Whilst we're on the subject of Birmingham fans, I would just like to plug my Football Stickers website. So if there are any Birmingham fans watching or listening, please head over to fcstickers.co.uk. There is a 20% discount code, which is the word Wembley for all Birmingham stickers. And then for Posh fans, of course, there is a 20% discount for those as well. Wembley again. Posh fans as well, if you want to collect before Wembley, Archie Collins is going to be in the FC Stickers office, so you can collect from him between 3 and 4pm on Friday, which is the Friday before the final. So order your stickers, select collection, and then come and collect them between 3 and 4 on the Friday before Wembley. And Birmingham fans, order before 12pm on Thursday and you'll get them delivered in time.
Right, yeah, do head over to FC Stickers, and I can confirm Lodz will be paying us all a relatively sizable amount of money for that plug for his own website on our podcast. So that's good news. Over to prediction times. Are we going to get any wild predictions? Ash isn't on, but I'd like to go on record that Ash has said we are going to do the double over Birmingham this week. Now, Ash may be the most positive of all of us, or some might say deluded. Anyway, Charlie, you're up first. What's the score going to be?
I think there is very little pressure on us on Tuesday night, and I think that that's going to play in our favour. I reckon it's going to be 1-0. So we're not going to beat them, but I reckon it's going to be 1-0. It's going to be 1-0 Birmingham from very early on. 7th minute, Jay Stanfield's going to score. And then they're going to be thinking, and their fans are going to start singing, "We are going up," and they're going to be getting very twitchy. And then 90 plus two, who's there but Emmanuel Fernandez to head in and delay the promotion party? That's what I'm going for. I'm going a 1-1 draw. And yeah, Birmingham will just have to wait that little bit longer to celebrate.
So I assume you're thinking Birmingham will get a penalty, because we all know £45 million striker Jay Stansfield never scores from open play, does he? So anyway, that's him bending one in from 25 yards on Tuesday, isn't it? No, I think we're going to lose, I'll be honest. I think Birmingham are a very good football team. They are way too good for this level. Feels like a bit like that meme when they win promotion and it's like, well done, it's 13. And that's the rest of League One, isn't it? It's just been a bit of an unfair fight this season. Can't see us being the team to stop them, stop the Birmingham City train on their way to the championship. So I just hope it's not embarrassing. I'll go 3-0 again.
We have got absolutely no fucking chance on Tuesday, have we? Let's not fucking try and fluff it up. We have got no chance. So based on that, 3-2 to Peterborough.
I'm going to go 3-0 as well. Normally I change my mind when someone else has already picked my scoreline, but I'm going to go for 3-0. I think they're just going to come. They're going to get the job done. They're going to make us look like knobheads. But yeah, we'll just have to suck it up and hopefully we do them on Sunday instead.
I'm going to go 2-0 Birmingham. I was going to probably say more than that, but after today, I don't think I can predict any more goals against us than that. So I'm going to go 2-0. What I will say is, John, is I can see already the TikTok edit when Jay Stansfield scores like a 30-yard screamer. It's just you going, oh, he doesn't score if we play goals. And then he just absolutely twats one in. But look, we'll see, won't we? Anything can happen. But yeah, I'm going to be negative for a change.
Well, Max, after what Abraham Otto did to me at Crawley, it's nothing I'm not used to anymore. We remember to write in the comments if you've watched this on YouTube, up the Poshcast, or if you're not entering the competition, just tell us. We're all twats if you're a Birmingham fan. Whatever you want to do. Anyway, catch you again after Tuesday night's game. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Poshcast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Poshcast. What the fuck was Harry doing carrying a fucking Tesco's bag walking around?